My brothers and sisters, have you ever wondered what life would be like if we would allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us? We have arrived at week 3 of our current sermon series titled Guides of the Gift. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the precious gift of the Holy Spirit given to us on that special day known as Pentecost Sunday, where the disciples and others were gathered in a meeting room, and as we are told in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, the 1st through the 4th verses, that there was like a mighty rushing wind that came by and allowed those who were present to speak in tongues associated with many nations, that others who were in the city of Jerusalem for the festival of weeks would be able to hear and learn about the mighty acts and gift from God to the people of God. On last Sunday, we heard from Pastor Andrew, who shared with us about the leading of the Holy Spirit in one's life. If we go back to Pentecost Sunday, I shared with you not only that how God was our creator, and when he created everything, including humankind in their image, he breathed the breath of a life and said that it was very good. We also learned, in addition to God being our creator, that Jesus the Christ was our true and only redeemer for all of humanity. And the precious Holy Spirit came to be our sustainer. How does the Holy Spirit sustain us? One, as Pastor Andrew shared on last week, in being the one who is able to guide and lead us through life's journey. But today we will be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit not similar to what I have here, representing those that we are familiar with, even though they all have one thing in common, and that is that they have a seed on the inside of them that help to produce this final product, if you will, in their progress of growing. We too are gifted with fruit. Fruit given to us by way of the Holy Spirit to also help us to grow, to help us to be able to discern who is also a fellow sister or brother in our journey of being more like Jesus. If we look to the Word of God in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, we find Paul leaving these words for the people of Galatia of what it means to be free in Christ Jesus. And so I want to start at the 1st verse, and then I'll skip down to the latter verse of where the meat of our text for this morning comes from. And so he says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery of the law." Going down to verse 5. "But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness of God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit for us to be circumcised or uncircumcised." I apologize. "For there is no freedom to be gained and no benefit to be gained in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. For what is important is faith expressed itself in love." And I want to go down to verse 13. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature sometimes craves. The sinful nature wants us to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And so therefore, there is this constant fighting between our human nature, our fleshly nature, and that of the Spirit. But when we follow our sinful nature, it tells us in verse 19 through 21, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Paul shares with them once again. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. For you see, my sisters and brothers, when we gave our life to Christ, when we allowed Jesus the Christ to go to the cross to redeem our sins, to redeem our life that we can be reconciled back to God, and to receive the full benefits of those who trust and believe in God through our faith in God, God not only sent us the Holy Spirit to remind us that we are not alone, but God also sent us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to be that seed, if you will, like the fruit here, the seed that would help us to grow and to be more like Jesus. Life as we have seen it these past 14 months has been anything but easy. It has been challenging, and yet we have seen all over this world expressions of love and care for one's neighbor like never before. How that seed of love and patience and kindness has grown within us and others by witnessing those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ during these difficult times. Fruit that allows us to remember the patience of Jesus when he walked this earth. A man with no sin who was treated as if he were a sinner, who still continued to love people even from the cross, giving forgiveness to a thief, still demonstrating for us the preciousness of being one of his followers. The fruit of the Spirit allows us to continue this journey better known as sanctification, according to the founder, John Wesley. Because our work does not stop once we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, but our work now takes on the new journey of living a holy and Christ-like life. What does that mean, Pastor? It means having joy in the midst of sorrow. It means having patience in the midst of dissension and disagreement. It means self-control, controlling one's temper, controlling one's actions, even when our buttons are being pushed. If you're a parent, you know what I mean. If you're a spouse, you know what I mean. If you're an employee, you know what I mean. There are times when people are pushing our buttons, trying to lead us in a path that is more of a fleshly reaction than that of a spiritual action. Paul not only reminds us in the book of Galatians of the benefit of the fruit, but he also shares with us in the book of Galatians, the third chapter, the first through the 15th verses, that when we understand the benefit and the knowledge of what it means to operate with the fruit of the Spirit, we are able to continue our journey through life. For it tells us, starting at verse 1, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. In other words, we put away those old things before we accepted Christ, and Christ went to the cross and put on the new things that are available to us. A new life, a new beginning, a new chance, a new opportunity. For it says in verse 12 through 15, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And most of all, be thankful. Be thankful for the opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom. Thankful that we are able to be witnesses to the goodness and the faithfulness of God. But even greater than that, to be a part of God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. You and I are given this knowledge through Scripture that we are able to allow the fruit of the Spirit to live within us, that we can use it as our tools on our tool belts as followers of Jesus Christ, realizing that not every fruit is the same. Just like this fruit is not the same as this fruit, but they all serve a purpose. The same is true of the fruit that is given to us by way of the Holy Spirit. They are not all the same, but they all have benefits to this thing called life. We, you and I, are called to not only receive the initial blessing of the Holy Spirit, but also to use those tools that were given to us to reside within us, not just to sit and be dormant, but to grow as we grow, to be seen as we walk. There's a quote that we used to have at one of my churches that the men came up with that says, I'm trying to walk the walk as I talk the talk. It's easy for some people to be able to quote scripture, but is their walk lining up with their talk? Is what they say representative in how they treat their neighbor? For the word says that we are to bear one another's burdens. The great commandment was that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we do this by way of the fruit of the Spirit. Children, toddlers are some of our greatest examples of what it means to be a walking sermon for God. For very often people will not engage us in conversation, but they will witness and look at how we talk to someone else. For there is power in having the Holy Spirit in us. The power of freedom from the shackles and bondage of life. Power in knowing that we're not walking alone. Power in knowing that God still loves us. Power to make a difference, not only in the church, but a difference in our homes, a difference in the community, a difference in the world. Precious Holy Spirit, that last other gift from God that was given to us on Pentecost Sunday, was just not a mere act once and done and you're left on your own. No, God provided through the Holy Spirit things that would help us as we continue through life's journey. These tools help us to weather the storms when the winds and the waves seem to be getting high and peace and calm doesn't seem to be in the immediate distance. And yet we know the God who created the winds and the waves, who sent the Redeemer of our lives to speak to the winds and waves and allow peace to come, is the same one who gave us the Holy Spirit that we too can have peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. What would it be like, my brothers and my sisters, if we were intentional in using the fruit, those tools that the Holy Spirit has given us, to be able to bless others, that they may see that there is still hope in this world, that there is still reason to have joy in this world, that love does trump hate, that there are times when we may have long suffering, and yet there is a place for us to still be kind to one another. God's other gift. It's not a one-day gift or a sermon series gift. It is a lifetime gift. And I pray that as you continue your journey, as you continue to seek to be like Jesus the Christ, that you will have the joy that comes with having the fruit of the Spirit. My question to you is, are you going to embrace them and blossom and grow where you plant it? Amen and amen. God bless you, church.